Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty, your friendly guide to the English language. We talk about writing, history, rules, and other cool stuff. But before we start, I also have an exciting announcement. For the next couple of months or so, I'm going to have an extra episode every week. In addition to the regular Tuesday show, on Thursday, you'll also get an interview show we're calling Grammar Girl Conversations. So today, I have breaking grammar news about updates to the AP Stylebook and a fun segment about Catawampus, Kitty Corner, and more. And this Thursday, you'll hear from Charles Duhigg, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Power of Habit. We're going to talk about his new book, which I loved, called Super Communicators. This is kind of a test to see if you like having an extra episode and if I can keep up with it. So if you like it, definitely let me know. And be sure to check your feed for Charles Duhigg talking about super communicators this coming Thursday. And be on the lookout for new episodes of Grammar Girl Conversations every Thursday. As longtime listeners may remember, the Associated Press updates its style book once a year. And last week was that magical time of year for copy editors who were in attendance at the ACES conference, that is the Society for Editing. I wasn't able to attend in person, but I followed along and heard about the changes, both small and large, from multiple editors who generously live-posted the event to Blue Sky, including Erin Brenner, who won the prestigious Robinson Prize for Editing and will be a guest on the show in, probably June. The biggest change that's gotten the most press that led to actual gasps, followed by applause when it was announced, is that the AP is changing its recommended dictionary to Merriam-Webster. Now, I know this might seem like a weird detail for people to get so excited about, but every editor I know loves Merriam-Webster. It's a high-quality dictionary that's frequently updated and easy to access. Plus, they're really supportive of the editing community. They always have people who come to the ACES conference and speak, for example. To back up a bit, the recommended dictionary is where writers and editors turn when a word or phrase isn't in the AP Stylebook. It's often where you go to look up an unusual word to see if it needs to be hyphenated, for example. Although the AP editors didn't explain their reason for the switch directly, the murmurs I heard afterward on social media were that the previously recommended dictionary had been all but abandoned by the publisher and hasn't been updated in years, so it's getting more and more out of date. The dictionary business is tough. In fact, just a couple of days ago, Dictionary.com also laid off its entire lexicography department. It's so sad. Merriam-Webster really does feel like one of the last few dictionaries standing. So this change was big and welcome news in the editing world. The other change that led to some gasps and maybe some applause and murmurs of discontent at the conference is that the AP Stylebook now says it's okay to qualify the word unique. They note that unique does mean one of a kind, but it also has a second sense of something that's extraordinary or highly unusual. You don't have to use it that way, but if you're editing for AP Style, you no longer have to change phrases like very unique or especially unique. I definitely know some editors didn't like this one. And if you want to learn more about the history of the word and the thinking behind the change, check out Grammar Girl episode 840, because we have a long segment about the word and how it's being used more and more in this other way. That was back in late 2021, and it's episode 840. Another huge change this year for editors is how to handle bulleted lists. In the past, the AP Stylebook called for putting a period at the end of every bullet item, even if it was a single word. So if you had a bulleted list with the items needed to make s'mores, each bullet would be chocolate, period, graham crackers, period, marshmallows, period. But now you don't need those periods. Now you only use a period or some other kind of terminal punctuation if the bullet item is a complete sentence. Another thing they added is to encourage the use of just the word said for quotations. No, claimed, believed, admitted, conceded, and so on. And I think that really just helps stories be more factual. It gets rid of words that can feel loaded or like they're making some kind of judgment about the quotation or the person. All in all, it was a pretty big year for changes, and these are just the biggest ones. And if you care or need to know AP Style for work, I'm actually teaching an AP Style webinar 1 week from today on April 23rd for Reagan Communications. I'll have more of the changes to AP Style in that webinar, but because it's a beginning webinar, I'll be spending most of the time helping you learn the most common rules and styles that you're likely to use every day as a writer or editor, tricky punctuation, handling those quotations, how to write numbers, and so on. You can sign up for that at bit.ly/GGAP2024, all lowercase, and use the code MCMIL, M-A-C-M-I-L, for a discount. Again, that's my AP Style webinar on April 23rd, and you can sign up at bit.ly/GGAP2024, all lowercase, and the code MCMIL. And I'll put that in the show notes, too. If you watched the recent Curb Your Enthusiasm finale on HBO, you may have been delighted to see the old Americanism catawampus playing a central role in the plot. Among all the typical quirkiness that led to Larry David being put on trial for giving a bottle of water to a voter, that voter rips him to shreds on the witness stand after hearing Larry's manager, Jeff, use the word, da-da-da, catawampus, and realizing he had earlier tricked her into revealing her secret salad dressing recipe on a phone call in which he used that word. Mirroring the final episode of Seinfeld from way back in 1908, which was written by Larry David, in this final episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, David is sentenced to jail. But unlike the Seinfeld characters who ended the show in the clink, he gets a reprieve when his sentence is thrown out. In his Wall Street Journal column on catawampus and the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale, linguist Ben Zimmer said, quote, "Jeff Schaefer, who co-wrote and directed the episode, told me they hunted online for an odd-sounding Southern word. Somewhere among fixin' and gumption and yonder, there was catawampus," unquote. And catawampus is a great fit for this oddball show. Most people have probably heard it, but it's rare. It's vastly less common than gumption and yonder in a Google Ngram search, for example. Although originally, in the 1830s, it referred to a fierce imaginary animal, today it means askew, awry, wrong in a discombobulated way, or to be diagonally across from something. If someone were planning an elaborate birthday party for a child, but when they picked up the cake and it said, "Happy retirement, Bob," the bouncy house wouldn't inflate, and the caterer delivered escargot instead of chicken fingers, that parent might lament, "It's gone all catawampus." Better yet, catawampus is part of a group of words that are said and spelled in all kinds of different ways, making Jeff's specific pronunciation in Curb Your Enthusiasm even more of an identifier. My mom used to say kittywampus, for example, instead of catawampus. And Edom Online shows cattywampus spelled a couple of different ways. And that diagonally across from something meaning leads us to kitty corner or catty corner, which are just two of many similar words people use, which vary by region. Many years ago, I surveyed my Facebook group and made a map of where people use these different words. You can still see it on my website, and I'll put a link in the show notes. What I found was that people in the South, as far west as Texas, and as far north as Pennsylvania and Nebraska, are much more likely to say catty corner, whereas everyone else in the U.S. and Canada is more likely to say kitty corner. But people reported using many other words. In many cases, it seemed as if they may have only heard the saying and then guessed at the spelling. Responses included cat corner, carry corner, cat-a-corner, caddy-corner, cat-a-corner, spelled three different ways, keddy-corner, and Kitty Corner, spelled two different ways. The Dictionary of American Regional English has even more variants: Kitty Cross, Kitty Catty, and Kittering, which means askew, instead of diagonally across like all the others. Nobody knows for sure where these words came from, but we have some clues. They probably go back to another American dialect word, catter, which means to set or move diagonally, and which came from the French word for four, quatre. And Edom Online says the wampus part in catawampus could be related to Scottish wampish, meaning to wriggle, twist, or swerve about. The bottom line is that Kitty Corner, catawampus, and their friends are considered dialect and informal. Kitty Corner type words seem to commonly take a hyphen, but other than that, you can spell them pretty much any way you want. But if you work for a formal publication, do check how it's spelled in your organization's style guide or recommended dictionary. For example, Merriam-Webster shows Kitty Corner and Catawampus as the primary spellings. And if you use the word often, be consistent in your spelling. You wouldn't want your readers to get a sense that your writing is all catawampus. Finally, I have a Familect story from Marcia.
Hi, Grammar Girl. Marcia here. I want to tell a story about a word that perhaps isn't our own, but it's one that we've only heard ourselves and one other family use. About 40 years ago, the Harris family came to visit us, and they taught us the word bappy, which is what you call that soup-like mixture that you get when you stir up your ice cream. Oh, we all loved bappy, and so we've often used that word ourselves to describe that, and they've shared it with others. So we always do, of course, give the kudos to the Harris family for teaching us this word, bappy. So I'd like to thank Greg and Jeff and Molly and Morgan and Miranda for allowing us to adopt the word bappy as our own. And if you're out there somewhere, Harris family, it's high from the beaches. Thanks, Grammar Girl.
Thanks so much, Marcia. I love bappy too, and now I have a name for it. And it's so kind of you to give credit to your friends. If you want to share the story of your Familect, your family dialect, or a word your family and only your family uses, call the voicemail line at 83-321-4-GIRL. It's in the show notes, and be sure to tell me the story behind your Familect, because that's always the best part. And now, if you're a Grammarpalooza subscriber, you can also send a voice memo. To sign up, visit joinsubtext.com/grammar or text hello to 917-540-0876. Grammar Girl is a Quick and Dirty Tips podcast. Thanks to Marketing Associate Davina Tomlin, Ad Operations Specialist Morgan Christensen, Audio Engineer Nathan Sims, Director of Podcasts Brandon Getches, Digital Operations Specialist Holly Hutchings, and Marketing Assistant Cameron Lacey, who is a plant mom of one tiny Haworthia succulent, which is named Spike Lee because he's spiky. And I'm Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl. Remember to look for our first episode of Grammar Girl Conversations this Thursday with Charles Duhigg. That's all. Thanks for listening.